All right. Hebrews 2 and 5. I entitled this in my New Testament survey, where you go by subject. Every so often in a book, it starts a new subject. And the writer of Hebrews is fantastic. He'll start off a verse or a subject, and he'll just make a fantastic, outlandish, beautiful, foundational statement, and it follows through the rest of that. Now, I entitled this The Pioneer, the Trailblazer of Our Salvation, 2, 5 through 18. All right? And all things are under Christ, 2, 5 through 8. He makes a statement that the writer does. Now, we talked about this. The writer that wrote the book of Hebrews was not in the church during the ministry of Jesus Christ. He was a secondary witness. He was not an eyewitness. Some people think that Paul was the writer of the book of Hebrews, but Paul was an eyewitness. Some people say Luke wrote the book of Hebrews, but Luke was an eyewitness, and he says that he was an eyewitness in the book of Luke and also in the book of Acts. This writer was not an eyewitness. He was a secondhand witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, but his witness was confirmed with what? What confirmed his witness? It says, we received the word from the eyewitnesses. And the word was confirmed by what? By miracles. All right, by miracles. All right, it was confirmed by the miracles of the apostles. All right, as they saw it, the miracles that were in the early churches. All right, gar, angelos, hepatoxane, tane. Oikomenane, tain, maluson, peri, haste, la lumen. All right. Now let's look at this. Matthew 24:14 and Hebrews 6 and 5 are cross references to this verse. For not to angels he subjected the oikomenane. All right, oiko means what? Oikos. That's where it comes from. Write down oikos. O-I-K-O-S. If you want to look at it, that's exactly how it's spelled. And then M-E-N-O is the two words it comes from. Oikos and meno. Oikos is house. Okay? And remain is the second part of it. What it's talking about here is an inhabited world where people live. Okay? For not to angels he subjected the inhabited world. All right? They were not subjected to the inhabited world. It says, the one being about to come, is what it literally says there, our coming one, the one being about to come, concerning of which we speak. They're talking about, he's talking about another, not an angel. Now, Jesus was not an angel. Now, in the Old Testament, Jehovah is called the angel of the Lord sometimes, and that is means it, what it actually means is the messenger, the Lord, our messenger. Okay? An angel means message. But don't get, like the Jehovah Witnesses, they get the idea that Jesus was an angel. Jesus was not an angel. Jesus is God. Yeah. All right? He is not an angel. And it says he did not subject the world to the angels. And Hebrews 6 and 5, let's go to Hebrews 6 and 5 also. And then Matthew 24:14. These are two cross references we have here. David, are you there? David?
Hebrews 6?
Yeah, 6 and 5.
And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come.
All right, yeah, that's it.
Okay.
All right.
So you only start on 4?
Yeah, start on 4.
And for in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible for and put end to open shame.
All right. What it's talking about here is the age to come. Remember the coming one. The one's about to come. Jesus is about to come back, people. And just in case you don't know it, he's about to come back. Now, back way back when the writer of the book of Hebrews, it looked upon the second coming of Christ as if it was just around the corner. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's just around the corner. Matter of fact, it's 24 hours closer than it was this time yesterday. It's just around the corner. The one about to come, concerning of which we speak. Look at that word "we speak" there. What? How'd that come from laleo, doesn't it? That's first person plural, present indicative active. All right, and hypotoxane, that's third person singular, first aorist indicative active. That means hypo and tasso. That means to put in order, to give a standing, a station, an order. He's subjected. He subjected the whole inhabited world, not to angels. Not to angels. He didn't do it to angels. He didn't subject the inhabited world to angels. At one time, the world, as the world of old, was subjected to Lucifer, wasn't it? He was the one that was over it. He was what we call the administrator of the physical, material realm of God. And it was subjected to him, but the next time, it's not an angel that it's subjected to, but the Lord of glory. All right. Now, what about this word laleo? What kind of a word is this? Remember, there's different words in Greek for speak. Reo means to flow, an edict. And there's the word lego, which means to pick out words and to put them together in a line. And that's very close to the Hebrew dabar. And this word laleo means what? Brother David. All parts humanly possible that you use in the development and the procurement of speech.
And that could be your whole body.
That's everything. That's your tongue, your teeth, your palate, your vocal box, even your lungs. Every part that makes sound, that makes you communicate, and even you can say the expressions you use.
Well, this is what I was referring to.
Even the expressions. This is all human forms of speaking. And Jesus did it also, didn't he? God spoke to us through his Son in this way. All right? Now, Matthew 24:14. Who has Matthew 24:14? David. Got a lot of Davids in here tonight.
And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
All right. The gospel is going to be preached, the gospel of the kingdom. When Jesus came into this world, he was the king, people. He was the king of Israel. They did not accept him. He was accepted when he rode into Jerusalem on the donkey and he took over the reins of the kingdom, and Israel never had it after that. It was over with. He took it away from them right there. But when the king came to this world, the king was born. And when the wise men came, whoever they were and however many of them were, when they went to Jerusalem looking for the king of Israel, and they said, "Where is the what? He that is born king of the Jews." All right, the king. Because he was the king. Herod was on the throne, but Herod was Esau's descendant. He was not Jacob's descendant. Jesus was Jacob's descendant. He was the right king to be on the throne. And he inherited that from his basically stepfather, Joseph. Joseph should have been the king of Israel. And yet an imposter, a toad, was squatting on the throne of Israel called Herod. And that was wrong. 2 and verse 6. Diamatirato. Dei. Pu. Tis. Legon. Ti. Esten. Anthropos. Hote. Mem. Neste. Autu. Heis. Huios. Anthropu, hote, episkepte, auton. Some words in here that are important. Important words.
Can you read the first sentence, the line, one more time?
Diamatirato de putis.
Okay, you missed a poo in ours.
A what? A poo?
Poo.
poo. Day poo.
Oh, okay.
Day poo. All right. Dia martirato de putis. Legon ti esten anthropos hote memnesque autu heis huios anthropu hote episkepteo skepte auton. All over again. Okay? And that little thing, that semicolon at the end, that is a question mark in Greek. That's how you write a question mark in Greek. Okay? Let's look at this thing now. Hebrews 4 and 4 and Psalm 8 and verse 4. We need to look at Psalm 8 and 4, verse 4 also. He solemnly witnessed for himself thoroughly. He solemnly and thoroughly witnessed for himself. And of course, we start off with the weak adversative conjunction. And by the way, you can put that one on page 85 if you want to write that down there, that weak adversative conjunction. Dia and martyromai is the word this first one's made from, and it means to completely, to thoroughly, to solemnly witness. Thoroughly means, dia means through witness. It means to completely witness. First aorist, indicative middle voice, third person singular. But he thoroughly witnessed where some saying, all right, now we're going to go back to Psalm 8 and verse 4. Psalm 8 and verse 4. Now this is quoted from Hebrew. It is not quoted from Greek at all. It's not quoting the Hebrew Bible. I think I said that backwards. It is quoted from Greek, not Hebrew. Not the Hebrew Bible at all. Okay? Now let me go back over here to first. Here it is, right here. I'm going to put this on the camera so you can see it. Maybe. It works out. It says, Aetios anthropon hote episcope auton elatasos auton braxu ti pas angelos. Right? What it says is, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or that you remember him? Why would you remember mankind? Okay? You look at that, David? That's what it says there. Alright? Now we're going to look at the Hebrew. Hebrew is different. Scholar. We're going to look at that in a few moments. All right. That says, he solemnly witnessed concerning where some saying, what is the psalm? Was the writer of the psalm, Psalm 8 and verse 4. What is man that you remember him? Or, that's the word A there, or the son of man, huios, of mankind, that you have looked, you have observed for yourself him. Look at the word episkete. The word skeptic comes right out of this. All right? Our word scope comes from. What do you use when you put a scope on a rifle? What are you doing? You're bringing in the image so you look at it real close. Okay? This word skeptic and the word scope comes from this word here. Skeptomai. Episkeptomai, it means to look upon, observe, to analyze carefully. Like Brother Harold, the Word of God is something that you need to analyze carefully. All right? Analyze it carefully. Second person singular, present indicative middle voice, for yourself. Now let's go on, because it's going to be quoting these.
And before you
speak, yes.
And verse 4, the black says, the Son of Man. is not capitalized, which is referring to the man.
Right? Yeah. Son of man. What is it? Son of man. Yeah. Yeah. What is the Son of Man that thou art mindful of him? But now, no, but it is going to refer to him. It is going to refer to him now. All right? It's going to refer to him. Now, 2 and verse 7. 2 and verse 7. Let's read this. Elatosos, Alton, Broxy, T, Par, Angelus, Doxe, Kai, Teme, Estephanosos, Alton. All right. Now let's look at this one. Now, this is not quoted from the Hebrew. Look there in the Hebrew Bible, Brother Randall. 2 and verse, well, let's see, verse 5. 8 and verse 5. I remember a long time ago that Brother Phil Neighbors came to me and he said, "Brother Jim," he says, "I was reading the book of Hebrews," and he said, "somebody told me that in Hebrew it was different than it is in this translation here. It does not say that he was made lower than the angels." Now let's look and see what it says here. "You have made a little less or inferior him," helatosos, and that's exactly what it says there in Greek. Brother David, are you looking at that in the Septuagint? Uh-huh. It's quoting it directly, isn't it? Yeah. It's quoting it right directly from the Septuagint. Okay. "You have made him a little lower, T par angelus." What's it say there in Hebrew, Brother Randall? All right. "You made him a little lower than Elohim." Who's Elohim? Huh? God. You made him a little lower than God. Now, the writers or the translators of the book of Hebrews didn't quite understand what he's talking about there in Hebrew. So they wrote down there, he said, well, Jesus was made lower than God, all right, but he was even made lower than the angels. So they put down the name angels there instead. Angels don't die, do they? Huh? Does God die? No. The only time God ever tasted death was on the cross of Calvary. Okay? And how did that happen? Because Jesus Christ took on a human body. That's why he was a seed of the woman. That's how that took place. Now, let's look at it.
What he missed there was he had to be made lower than the Elohim to be able to die on the cross.
That's right. He had to be related to mankind. First of all, why did God relate himself to mankind? Why did God become related to mankind? The whole book of Ruth tells you. So he could be related to man, and therefore he was related to the universe also. John 3:16, "For God so loved the" what? The cosmos, the universe. Okay? The cosmos. It's very beautiful in Hebrew. Barashith, bara, Elohim, Hashemayim. There's no word for universe in Hebrew. So it says the uplifted waters are the heavens. But when it means heavens there, it means the whole universe. Not only the heavens, but the whole universe. All the universe. And then it says, Weha'arets. Et Weha'arets, and the earth. So God made the whole universe before he ever put the earth in it. And then he put earth right there in a special place. Isn't that beautiful? It tells you that from Hebrew. All right? Let's go back here and look at this. He made him a little less. He made him, second person singular, all right, or third person singular, I should say, first aorist, indicative active. Or you have made him, that is, second person singular. You have made him a little lower, broxe, brief, for a brief time is what it means there, broxe. Brief time. T par, that means then, comparatively, angels. Accusative plural masculine. Angels. A little lower than angels. But in Hebrew it says a little lower than Elohim. Me Elohim.
Say that again.
Me Elohim.
What is the distinction of me Elohim?
Oh, just then. comparative. Ne is a comparative. All right. Lower than the than Elohim. He had to for God to be related to mankind, so he could suffer death, so he could suffer the substitutionary death. Then he had to be related. He was God, yes, but he was man. Here we have the perfect marriage of the God-man for the redemption of mankind and the redemption of the earth. It's not only that God was going to redeem mankind, but he was going to redeem the whole earth, the whole universe, because God made man from what? From the same elements that he created the universe. And if you took a chemical analysis of mankind, you will find everything in mankind that's in the earth. And man is related to the earth because everything he eats and everything he grows in this earth comes from to him from the earth. And when he dies, he goes to the earth. So, man is related to the universe. And God is related to man, which is related to the universe, which then he's able to redeem all of it back to himself. Very beautiful.
John
1:14. Yeah, John 1:14. Kahologos Arxagenico, and the Word, the Jehovah, flesh he became. And he pitched his tent among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten. And then in John 1:18, it says, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten what? God, which dwelt among us. We see him. John 1:18, it says, he led himself out of eternity into space and time in the person of Jesus Christ. Do you see how foolish your Jehovah Witnesses are and these people that do not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ? They're fighting against the whole counsel of God. The whole purpose of God was to become related to us so he could redeem us back to himself. And he didn't send an angel to do it. Period. All right? Look that up if you want to. Colin DeLeesh makes a commentary on this from pages 147 to 157. Psalm 8, 5, and 6 is what this is quoting from.
Jim, could you make us copies of your Hebrew interlinear and this? The
so you can see it?
So we can put it as a...
Oh, in that?
Yeah,
I'll try to do that. I'll try to maybe do that maybe next week if I can get it to... My computer does not work like it used to do. It does not cooperate. I'm telling you. My scanner died, and I can't get another scanner that works like the old scanner. I used to be able to do this real easy, but it's not like it was. Yeah, it's a lot more difficult now than what it used to be. It doesn't work. All right. He made a little less, and this word is elatao, okay? Elatao. Made him a little broxe, okay? For a brief time, a little while, then angels. But in Hebrew, it is, says God, so be sure and put that down there. What does it say anything over there in the column of your Bible there, in your study Bibles? Does it say anything in the column?
Not there.
About this verse? It doesn't say. It just jumps over it. Probably afraid to address it. This is plain. With glory, doxe, in glory, kai, time, and honor, you have crowned him, second person singular, first heirs, and dickeny back. That comes from the word Stephanos. The name Stephen comes from this. It means the laurel wreath. Okay? For a little while. And a laurel wreath didn't last very long, did it? Just for a little while, Jesus was subject to humanity. 33 and a half years only. Yes, Brother David.
So the reason that it was mistranslated is because the Jews did not want to admit that Christ was coming?
Well, they didn't understand. When they translated the Septuagint, they didn't understand about the humanity of Christ. When was the Septuagint translated? 300 B.C. All right, 300 B.C., 300 years before Christ. They did not understand the humanity of Christ. Isaiah 7:14, they didn't understand all about that. Isaiah 53, Psalm 22. They just couldn't quite fathom that.
So do you suppose that the mistranslation of this had something to do with their belief system when Christ came?
Yes, because they were coloring the Septuagint. And another thing in the Septuagint, if you go right from the Genesis 1 and 1, the book of Genesis, by the way, comes from the Septuagint, which means Genesis. That's what it is. In Hebrew, it's Bereshith, beginnings. In Greek, it is Genesis. All right?
Is that plural?
Well, beginning. All right, beginning. If it was translated correctly, it would be beginnings. But they didn't translate it correctly.
Beginnings with an S?
Yeah. It says in our... It says... where is the Septuagint? I'll read it to you.
We're kind of getting off on something else.
It probably says... Probably NRK.
I'm just wondering if they missed something because the Hebrew first word of Moses was the name of the book.
Yeah. Yeah, Genesis is the letter. It literally says Genesis in the Septuagint. Genesis. That's what it is. Genesis. That's the name of the book. But the name of the book comes from Greek, not Hebrew. Okay, NRK. It's what it should say. If they translate it correctly, what should it say in Greek? You know enough about Greek now. What should it say? In our case, in beginnings. Not in RK. So it's translated incorrectly because they believed in the Babylonian idea of creation, that God made a gob, and then he brought order out of chaos, which he didn't do. But they believed that at that time. That's why it's translated according to that idea.
Yes, brother. The teachers of the Jews and the Hebrews right before Jesus was born.
Uh-huh.
They were teaching
the Bible.
They were reading the New Old Testament
in Greek. Yes, they were.
It wasn't in Hebrew.
No, it wasn't in Hebrew. They were reading it in Greek. Now they quoted Hebrew. They quoted some Hebrew, but many of the Hebrews, the Jews at that time, felt like they were blaspheming if they spoke biblical Hebrew. They did not do it. They thought it was a holy language that was too holy to be spoken. And that's why they went, and they had gone into, let me prove that to you. What is a place of gathering that the Hebrews used? Was it a moed?
Synagogue.
It was a synagogue, which means synagogue. That means to go together, and that's Greek, not Hebrew. All right? As simple as that. All right, he made a little lower, inferior, him, for a brief time, than angels. In glory and honor, you have crowned him, second person singular, first aorist, indicative act, first aorist. It happened one time. Okay? Period. All right? Him. All right? You have him. Now, here's what I wrote about this. God became material because he became less than his former glory and less than angels, which are spirit. Okay? Being a material human being, he was made less than the angels in that they are not subject to death. And of course, he was made less than Elohim, as in the original Hebrew text, because God is not subject to death either. But Jehovah became subject to death for a while. For a broxit. For a while, that he might redeem us and taste death. The penalty of sin. The penalty of sin is death. But since Jesus tasted death for us, how many of you are going to die in this room? Anybody going to live forever here? In their human body? Yeah. Okay. We're all going to die, but we're not going to die. Because Jesus died for us, if we are saved, we're not going to... Death has no victory over us at all. We may die, but that means nothing. Because we are eternal beings in Christ. All right? He redeemed us. He suffered death for us, that we can be victors through Him. All right? 2 and 8. 2 and verse 8. Panta. Hippitoxos. Hippocato. Ton. Podon. Autu. En. To. Gar. Hippotoxe. Auto. Ta. Ponta. Udan. Afaken. Auto. Ana. He. Talk. Ton. Neen. Day. Upo. Hurapan. Auto. Ta. Ponta. Hippo. Ta. Talk. Menina. Be able to operate here again. That was a long verse, and I didn't think I was going to make it. That light was blinking back there and telling me that I was out of tape and all of that, and I hope it got on the other one. All things, Ponta. All things. Pas and Tauta is where this thing comes from, Ponta. Hippotoxes, that comes from hippo and toxo. Second person singular, first aorist indicative active. All things you have subjected. Now, who's the talk? Who did it? Who subjected? Who is the one that did the action here? This is Elohim. All right? This is the Creator. This is the Father, so to speak. The Father figure of God. All things you have subjected, hippocato. Boy, this is what we call a double down under. Down, down. All things you have subjected. Now that word subjected there means to put in station. It means to set in order. It means there's a guy here and a guy here and a guy here and a guy here. There's order in this. All things you have put down, down under him. Down, down, under the feet of him. The poda. All right. What do you say? How do you say feet in Spanish? What's feet? Yeah. Huh? Pia? Yeah. All right. See, that comes right out of Greek. All right. The feet of him. Everything you put under his feet. To be subjected. Everything that can be subjected is put under Jesus. But yet he was made lower than Elohim or angels in the Septuagint, but we know it's Elohim, all right? To be subjected to him, the things all. And then it says, then. That comes from uk, de, and hina. Not one thing. Uk, not. Moreover, not one thing is left out. All right? Not one thing he left to him unsubjected. That word afaken there. That comes to afiami. There in Acts 2:38 it says, for you're baptized for the forgiveness of sins. All right? It's ace of facing. That's the same word here. You're baptized because your sins have been sent away. Not one thing is left out to him to be unsubjected. Nothing. In the whole universe, Not one thing is not under Jesus' feet. Where is Jesus today? Right hand of God? Right hand on the throne of God is what it literally says. Who sits on the right hand on the throne? The king. Who sits on the left hand? The queen. All right, so we have Jesus sitting on the throne of glory because he is the king. That's the only throne there, by the way. That's it. The other one is the sub-throne which his queen sits on. All right? He left nothing he left out, unsubjected. And then it says, but now, day, neen, or neen day, it actually is in English, it goes backwards. Not yet. Not yet. Ooh and po. Not yet. Page 295, if you want to look that one up in analytical lexicon. We see, that comes from horao. Not yet, we're able to see. Present indicative active. First person plural, present indicative active. We can't see, we can't imagine with our mind. We can't, this word here is to visualize. We can't see. We don't understand how great our God is. You can't understand heaven and the throne of God until you get there. You can't do it. Because we don't have the ability. But not only that, is that we don't have the perception to see all of everything. Because we can only see 2% of what's out here anyway. We can only perceive, we can only detect 2% what is actually there. All right? Not yet we see him, the things all, having been subjected. How many of you ever seen an angel? Angel? How many of you ever seen an angel and you knew it was an angel?
Well, I got one sitting
right here.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He gets an A-plus for that.
What do you have?
But theologically, you made... you made an A-plus with Irma. Angels we don't see right now. I mean, we could if they appeared to us, but we don't see them, do we? But do you know that every angel and every spirit is subject to Jesus? And we can't even see them, but they're subject to Him. Every spirit, everything in this world. Why do you think animals follow the pattern that God put them in? Because they're subject to Him. That's why. Now man, if man was smart, he'd be at least as smart as a dumb animal. Because he would follow God. They do. They do.
Possessed man of the Gadarenes. When the spirits came out of there,
The pigs didn't want it. They decided not to follow the spirits. They decided to die first. It would be good if people just give up instead of fighting against God. We're not able to see all the things that have been subjected to Him, and we could chase all through the Bible and look at this in this verse right here. We just don't understand it. All right? Now let's look at number 9. Verse number 9. Hebrews 2 and 7, Philippians 2, 9, and Hebrews 1 and 9 are cross-referenced this in Psalms 8 and 2 through 6, and Daniel 7, 13. Tone, day, broxy, t, par, angelus, a la to menon, blepomen, asun, dia, to, pathema, tu, thanatu, doxa, kai, teme, estephanomenon, hopos, kariti, theu, hyper, pontos, gios, seitai, Dantu. Beautiful. When I look at the word boxy, I always think of the word taxi. Taxi. Roxy and taxi. 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 What is a taxi?
Car for hire.
Huh?
Car for hire.
If you need to get someplace in a hurry, what do? You call a taxi. Taxi means in a hurry.
Oh.
That's what it means. Taxi. Taxi. In a hurry. Broxy. Taxi. But the one lesser, for a short time, any then angels, it says here again, where's it quoting again? Hebrew, or we're going back to Psalm 8. All right. He's made a little lower than angels. All right. Daniel 7:13. And Hebrews 2 and 7. Are you still got the Hebrew Bible over there? All right. Can you read that for me there? Psalm 8 and 6. Psalm 8 and verse 6. It's on, jumping on up there a little bit further.
Here in the margin, it's easier. It says, you made him rule over the works of your hands. You have put all under his feet. That's
okay. 5 and 6 and 7. What's it say, 5, 6, and 7? No, in the Hebrew. You don't have to read the Hebrew, just read the interlinear to it and tell me what it says up above a little bit. Throw a little Hebrew in it as you go.
In that, okay,
I can do
what
it.
What is man that okay. You remember
him, consider him, remember him?
Man and the Son, which uses the word Adam for man.
Yeah.
Adam.
Adam, related to Adam, aren't we?
Visit you him.
Okay. That you should visit him.
Have you and lack him made?
A little less.
A little.
From God, that's the term I wanted right there, from God. Made him a little less than, my Elohim. And he uses it twice now.
With and glory and honor, have him crowned. Him made you rule to the over of works.
All right, he ruled over all of the works of God, every work of God, all the works of his hand. Who created the heavens and the earth? Jesus did. He's the creator, Colossians 1:16. All right, 1:14 through 6:18, actually.
Have you put under feet his?
Yeah, that's what we've been quoting.
Okay.
All right. Now, where are you right now?
Looks like
okay. All right. Well, that's... all right. That's good enough. We got it. All right. T par angelos. And then it says, Ma'atz mi Elohim. But the one lesser than any angels, having been made inferior... Having been made inferior, a perfect participle passing, having been made inferior, we see Jesus. We see Jesus. The only way we could see God is if God became flesh. So we could visualize Him. Okay? Even when Jesus appeared to Adam in the garden, He appeared to him in His pre-incarnate form, which would be Jesus. Jesus was actually in his pre-incarnate form. He was visualized to Adam and to Abraham and to Moses. For the purpose of diato pathema, for the purpose of suffering, we got our word pathos from that word, of the death. Of the death. All right? For a few moments on the cross of Calvary, Jesus suffered this death for us. All right? But it's a death with glory and honor. All right? The death of Jesus crowned him with glory and honor because he became victorious over death. Mankind couldn't overcome death, but Jesus overcame death. He was subject to death, but to override the death in the resurrection. Okay? He died on the cross of Calvary. He subjected himself to death on the cross of Calvary. They didn't kill him, by the way. He gave his life up. He chose. He breathed out his spirit. He surrendered his spirit. All right? Nobody else surrenders their spirits. All right? They don't surrender their spirit. And honor having been crowned with a laurel crown, again, the Stephanos, accusative singular masculine perfect participle passive, having been crowned, so as in grace of God, for the benefit of everyone else, he might taste death. All right? In God's plan of grace, God's plan of the ages, God decided that he would pay the ultimate cost of sin, which would be death on the cross of Calvary, that death might not have power over you. Okay? He paid. Now, do you see how the writer of the book of Hebrews keeps reinforcing the same thing over? You know, we've heard the same thing over and over again tonight, just over and over and over. He keeps reinforcing that Jesus died for us, that Jesus became flesh, that he became the son of Adam, Adam. All right? That he might redeem us and the whole creation to himself because he was related to it, but he had to be a little, he had to take on the nature of less than God in the person to be able to do that. And it wasn't an angel. It was not an angel. It was God.
You got good ears, bro.
I'm standing here right beside this thing. With the only ear that I could hear out of, the left one, and I still don't hear it. God became flesh for our benefit. That's what the word says here. And honor, having been crowned, so as the grace of God, he paired for the benefit of everyone, that he might taste death. This is the thanatos. That's usually spiritual death, isn't it? But he tasted necros. He tasted physical death. Now, when he was on the cross of Calvary, there we had a division between the Father and the Son for a moment. Because he was separated. He was separated. He said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, didn't he? Psalm 22 and verse 1 in Hebrew. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did the Father forsake the Son on the cross of Calvary?
Couldn't bear to look at the sin that he had on
him. For you. For our redemption. That's why. He couldn't pull him down off the cross or we'd all have to go to hell. And death would have dominion over all of us. And the devil would still be ruling. Even though we die today, it is a momentary, it is a brief braxe, a brief death for a short period of time. But even when we die today, we don't die, we don't go out of existence, do we? Either you go as a person, a lost person goes to Sheol, Hades. They're conscious, they're suffering, but the child of God goes into the beatific vision, they go right into the Hashemayim, into the heaven where God lives. And you rejoice with Him. And then you get your new body one of these days. But right there, as far as I can tell, you're still functioning and walking around looking at each other and telling who each other are. Even in that spirit form that you have without your body. Luke 16 chapter is the only example we have of that. And I guess it's that way in heaven. Do you have any questions? Acts 2:33, Acts 2:38. I wanted to show you, if you remember that, the sending away our sins. We're baptized because our sins have been sent away, and the scapegoat that took them and bears them away is Jesus Christ. Okay, not like the Seventh-day Adventists tell us that the scapegoat represents Satan that bears everybody's sins in hell. Nobody has to go to hell but Satan, they say. Satan goes to hell for every man. But that's not what the Bible teaches, that Jesus is our sin bearer. Okay? Satan sure is not our sin bearer. Satan is his own sin bearer. Acts 2:33, Acts 2:38, Acts 3:13, John 3:16, Matthew 16:28, John 8:52, and Hebrews 7:25. Let's go to John 8:52 for a moment.
You know, that changes the chapter so much because it links making him lower than the angel does not tie chapter 1 and 3 together. There's a gap there.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes care of the gap.
Yeah.
Because Christ is superior in chapter 1, and now he's lower than the...
What does Hawking say? Does he just jump over this? He doesn't look at it at all?
He jumps right over
this. He didn't see it.
But,
okay.
But he is lower than Ma Elohim in chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
And in chapter 3, we find our rest in him.
That's right.
And so that really...
There's a purpose that he became, briefly man on the cross of Calvary. He became briefly man. Briefly, he became our Redeemer and our sin bearer.
You know, when you read the whole thing together, it's kind of a confusing thing going from chapter to chapter, right?
Yeah.
And that clears it up completely.
Even the writer of Hebrews didn't understand what you understand tonight. Did you know that? Because he didn't look at the Hebrew. You know, when the church was in its early infancy there, before it had the Bible, they had miracles. They performed miracles. They spoke in languages that they didn't have to learn. They were inspired preachers. They were inspired teachers. They were inspired. They were apostles. All of this was inspired because they didn't have the Bible. You're more well-equipped today than what they were, nor any writer of the New Testament, because you have the complete Word of God, plus you have Hebrew, and you have the Greek Septuagint. They only had the Septuagint, basically. Paul knew Hebrew. All right? But this writer didn't know Hebrew. And so he doesn't even allude to that as such. It would have made more sense, wouldn't it, if he would have used the Hebrew.
So why do you suppose God allowed...
So we could study it here tonight.
Approved
unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. Then when somebody asked you about this, and not only that, but can you witness to the Jehovah Witness brothers better now than what you did before? A little easier? I mean, it probably won't do any good, but there it is. All right. Well, thank you for endurance of those hard seats, and I know they're hard. And the heat tonight, we didn't quite have our cooler turned or our air conditioning turned on. But you're there in a good place. I think every one of you found an outlet, didn't you, except for me. And I endured it one more night with my coat on for the posterity of these classes so they can look at me halfway decent looking. All right. We'll start next week at 2 and verse 10. Do you have any questions about this? Do you have any questions? Brother Harold, do you have any questions? Delpha? Davids? All right. We will let you study next week. I'll try to see if I can make that thing copy those two pages so you'll have them. You can see them a little bit better. But I like for you taking part in it and reading out of here so you can know that I'm telling you what's there. I want you to know that what I'm saying is there. Okay? You know that now, don't you? And you got enough Greek behind you that you know the fallacy of people that are trying to teach the book of Hebrews that don't know it. You can see through it. All right, let's turn you loose on the world. Brother Randall, will you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?